Let's take our Bibles and turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 19. Proverbs 19. We continue going verse by verse. Not every Sunday, but as we do through this blessed book of Proverbs. And here we are in the 19th chapter, verse 4. Proverbs 19:4. The scripture declares, wealth maketh many friends, but the poor is separated from his neighbor. Humanly speaking, the natural man, now this is humanly speaking, the natural man desires to be friends with the wealth of men. Not necessarily the men themselves, but they desire to be friends with the wealth of men. What'll happen is they'll flatter, naturally speaking, the man born in Adam, the natural man. He'll flatter the rich man as long as he's rich. If his wealth is diminished, or if it's taken away, it's easy just to alienate yourself from him. What does he have to offer me? Now, I'm telling you that that's just naturally speaking. That's the natural man. I know this. We deal in a world and have a natural man still in us, an old man in us. But there's a new man there, created in righteousness by the grace of God. And that new man wants to hear, not humanly speaking, he'll agree with that. I know that. You know that. James says if a rich man comes in, there's a poor man over here, James says, you'll say to the rich man, you come up here and sit up here by me. And the poor man said, well, why don't you go the best of you? What a believer wants to hear is, you tell me about him. Tell me about the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what this verse is dealing with. Now, let me tell you, this verse deals with the sovereign mercy and grace and power of Almighty God in the regeneration and eternal salvation of God's elect. All because of man's need. Man can do nothing for himself. Man is a spiritually dead sinner. And man must have Almighty God to do something for him that he cannot do. God's going to have to save him. Man can't save himself. Now I've got three simple points. I want to be as simple as I can possibly. I want to talk in such a way that we understand exactly what's being said here. I've got three points. Here's my first point. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. Jonah 2:9 says that. If salvation, and it is, if salvation be of God, then that declares that Almighty God is sovereign in salvation. That God Almighty is the author and the finisher of faith and salvation. Now, every believer believes that. A believer believes salvation is of the Lord. Now listen to this scripture. We've read these scriptures. I'm not going to tell you anything that I've not told you before. Lord willing, if you hear me say something that you've never heard me say before, well, I don't think you will. Romans 9:15. Now listen to this. Salvation's of the Lord. Romans 9:15 says, "For He," that is God, Jehovah, "for He saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I'll have mercy. I'll have compassion on whom I'll have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth." Now, I wonder how many times I've read that scripture. How many times have you heard that scripture? It's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. I looked up that word willeth just this morning. I want to know, what does that mean? It's not of him that willeth. Now you look this up. Get your Strong's Concordance and look it up. That's what I did. I looked it up. You know what it means? Determines. It is not of him that determines, nor of him that runneth. That is, to have a course, or to set it. But of God that showeth mercy. Do you want to know the freedom to be able to proclaim the gospel? It's to not make any apology for God's words. We'll absolutely make no apology. We rest our doctrine. We rest what we believe solely upon the Scriptures. That's what we was talking about, Brother Frank, a while ago. God said it. That settles it. That middle part right in there about believing it, that's by the grace of God if you believe it. But man is dead in trespasses and sins, and God must save him. God must do something for a man that man cannot do for himself. It's not of him that determines, not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, that is, that sets the course, but of God. Whose will determines mercy being shown to a sinner? Whose will determines that? Well, I know this. It's not of him that willeth. It's not of him that runneth, but God that showeth mercy. So I know this. If Almighty God shows mercy to somebody, it was God that determined that. God chose to show mercy. I could understand this very easily. If I've got four criminals, they've all been caught, convicted, tried, sentenced. And a judge says, "I'm going to show mercy to somebody this morning. I'm going to have compassion on somebody. I'm going to commute a sentence for one of you four." Now let me ask you this. Who's going to make that determination? One of the four? No, the judge. It's not of him that willeth, him that runneth, God that showeth mercy. Whose power is executed in the salvation of God's elect? Whose power? Whose ability? Whose will? John 17:2 says this. This is the Lord in His high priestly prayer. "As Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him." All power, the Lord said. Matthew 28:18. "All power is given unto Me in heaven and earth." So the question always comes back, who else has any if He has all power? The Lord said in John 15:5, "Without Me you can do nothing." Nothing. Nothing. What can a man do without the Lord? Nothing. So we believe that unless the Lord does something for a sinner, that that sinner can't do for himself if unless the Lord does something, that sinner's going to perish. Helpless. Man is born a helpless sinner and rebel against God. Colossians 1:21 reveals the attitude of every one of us as being born in Adam. It says, "And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight." Well, I know this. Man by nature, in his mind, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind. A thing that I love about this. Almighty God who has everlastingly loved his elect. There's a people that God's everlastingly loved. I've loved you with an everlasting love. Does the Lord love everybody? Well, I can tell you this. Esau, he said he didn't. We're enemies in our mind. And in our mind, we're not friends with God. The carnal mind is enmity against God. So we were not born friends in our mind. We were born hating God, enmity against God. So I know that as my first point. Salvation is of the Lord. God is sovereign. Salvation. Here's my second point. The Scripture declares that Almighty God, who is sovereign in salvation, has some friends. He's got some friends. Friends, as I just said, who at one time were enemies in their mind. Now listen to this. James 2:23. "And the Scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." He was called God's friend. God Almighty, this is what that Scripture said, had given and charged, had imputed to Abraham faith. It's given unto you to believe. All men have not faith. It's given unto you to believe. God gave him faith. Regenerated him. Called him by grace. Gave him faith to believe. And Abraham evidenced that God Almighty had given him faith. And by believing God, he evidenced that Almighty God had justified him freely by grace. How was that faith that God had given him, how was it evidenced? How would we know that Abraham believed God? Well, here's what happened. God told Abraham, he said, "I want you to take your son, Isaac, your only son, and I want you to go to a place that I'm going to show you, and I want you to sacrifice him unto me." And let me tell you what Abraham did. He took that boy and went with some servants. They saddled up the ass and they went, and God showed him and said, "This is the place right here." Abraham stopped, told the servants, he said, "The lad and I are going to go up there and worship. We're going to go worship God." They're going up, and Isaac said, "Father, here's the wood, fires, where's the lamb?" And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb." And you know the story. God stopped him. But I'm telling you, that boy in Abraham's mind was dead. That boy was dead. He's going to believe God. He was going to sacrifice. He evidenced that God had given him faith because he obeyed. Abraham loved the God of all grace who loved him first. We love him because he first loved us. We didn't start loving him first. He loved us first. And we trusted him because he gave us faith to believe. We were not the origin of our faith. God gives faith and we believe him. We evidenced that God had given us faith. We trusted him. Isaiah 41:8, "But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friends." Abraham was God's friends. The Lord told his disciples, he said, "Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." Obedience to his word evidences something. God's people, in obedience to his command, let me tell you the evidence of a believer. The evidence of a believer. Here it is. They believe God. They believe God. They believe him. "Lord, did you say you chose? You chose. Lord Jesus Christ said, I lay down my life for the sheep." And man says he laid down his life for everybody to make salvation possible. A believer says, "The Lord said he laid down his life for the sheep." Who are they? I don't know. I don't know. But I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to preach the gospel. And I'm going to preach the gospel of God's sovereign and free grace. And I'm going to trust God to bless it. He said, "My sheep are going to hear my voice." He said in John 6:37, "All that the Father giveth me are going to come to me." Paul, under the inspiration of God's Spirit, said in Romans 1:16, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation." This is what God blesses. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to tell you, I need to hear it. What does God have to say? And I'm going to trust the Lord to call out his sheep. I pray he saved somebody today. I pray. I know if anybody's converted today, I can tell you where it's going to come from. God's going to have to do it. Salvation's of the Lord. So, here's my question. How? How can anybody born in Adam, how can anybody be truthfully called the friend of God? How? I know salvation is of the Lord. I know that the Scripture declares that God has friends. He, you know, this right here says wealth maketh many friends. But here's my third point. Who is the wealth? Wealth maketh many friends. Who is the wealth? Now, that's not material. Like I told you at the beginning, humanly speaking, somebody has some money and they run out of money, and all of a sudden if that's all you were looking at, you look for somebody else to kind of flatter, suck up to. But I'm talking about wealth that maketh many friends. Here's another word that we need to understand. Wealth maketh. Wealth puts. Wealth appoints. Wealth brings, and wealth calls. That's what maketh means. Wealth maketh many friends. This third point, I could sum it up by saying this. The Lord Jesus Christ is rich. He's rich. He's wealth. He's wealth. The Lord Jesus himself, the fullness of the Godhead. He is the fullness of the Godhead. Father, Son, and Spirit. The fullness of the Godhead. Oh, I can say those words, but that's so far over my ability. I can say it. I believe it. But I can say this. Lord, who can know? Who can know? You are the fullness of the Godhead, bodily. Wealth himself, possesses a people who were eternally given to him by the Father. Now, I know that. I know that he who is rich unto all that call upon him, he who is wealth himself, all power, John 17:2, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth, that I should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given me. Doesn't that just, that rings of absoluteness. All power is his. If we want to talk about wealth, we're going to talk about him. He, you know, as I said a while ago, the earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof. Wealth himself had before the foundation of the world, Ephesians 1:4, the Father gave him a people, chose a people in him. He has eternally stood as the surety. Wealth himself was given a bride, was given his church, was given his body. The Father, the Scripture says, chose them and gave them to the Son. And the Son, who has eternally stood as their surety, came into this world. The Word was made flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh. And he came into this world for this reason, seeking to save that which was lost. He had a people. He's going to save them. He's going to save his people. And these people, at one time, were enemies in their minds by wicked works. But because that they've everlastingly been loved of the Father, by the Son, by the Holy Spirit, and the fullness of that love, that power, fullness exhibited in the Lord Jesus Christ. And now the Lord is not going to allow them to perish. This is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all that he's given me, I should lose nothing. Nothing. There won't be one of God's elect that'll perish. They're all going to come. I said a while ago, who knows? Maybe there's one this morning, Neil, that God's not called out of darkness yet. Who knows? Peradventure, perhaps. I pray so. And the Lord of glory has, by the wealth of himself, here he is, all power. And by his mercy, what he did, he laid down his life for his sheep. Wealth himself. I'm going to deal with this, Lord willing, in the next service out of John. But what he did was he laid down his life. He said, no man takes it from me. And he went to the cross, set his face as a flint. For the love of his people, for the love of the gift of his Father, and by the shedding of his own blood, being made sin, he laid down his life, and he reconciled them by his blood, by his broken body. He reconciled them to God. And in time, the Spirit of God, when it pleases God, as Paul said, when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb. When does God call out one of his elect? When does he do that? When it pleases God. That's when he pleased God. He may call a Samuel, little fella. He may call a dying thief just before he leaves this world. Who made that determination? God did. God did. But I can tell you this. They're all coming. They're all coming. And in time he calls them by power and grace. And he reveals to them what he has done. He reveals to them through the gospel. And he gives them a new heart. Brother Henry, someone asked him one time, what comes first, faith or belief? And he said, you can't separate them. He said, You got to be, when a man, God gives man a faith, he believes. That's just a question we just sit there and mull over and stuff like that. I'm telling you what happens. Psalm 110:3 says, Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. They're going to come. He's going to open their hearts. He's going to give them a new heart. He's going to give them a heart of flesh. He's going to remove that, dethrone that heart of stone. That old man's still there, but he doesn't rule. Doesn't rule. What he does is this. He makes them friends. He's always loved them. And they were born never loving him. Let me ask you, you that believe, do you not love the Lord? Do you not love Him? You love His gospel. You love His word. Don't you love His sovereignty? I love that God's in control. That's not up to me. Did you always love that? No. When it pleased God, He called you by His grace, called you out of darkness of unbelief, and as you heard the gospel and you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And our love grows for Him. Faith grows. Increase our faith. Lord, increase our faith. Our belief grows. Lord, I believe. Help mine unbelief. You know. But think about this. Wealth maketh many friends. But the poor is separated from his neighbor. The poor. The destitute. The impotent. The rebellious sinners can do one thing. All they can do is this. They can separate. Let me read this. Isaiah 59. I'll read this for you. A couple of verses. Isaiah 59 in closing. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save. Neither his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. He's not going to hear. Who is he going to hear? He's going to hear his son. The Lord said, Father, I know you heareth me always. When we pray, I'll tell you a comforting thing. The Lord Jesus Christ, as we pray, and we don't know what to pray for, but the Lord Jesus Christ takes the prayers of the saints and in the incense of His glory, of His merit, presents them to the Father. And our prayers are accepted on His merit, not ours, not ours. All we can do, the poor, separates. We're separated from our neighbor. If friendship is going to be established between God and men, he who is truly wealth must do it. In mercy and grace and power, he who is rich must make us friends to him. He's shown us friendship in the giving of his son, putting away of our guilt. The Lord reconciled us back to God. And He gives us a heart of love toward Him. This He did by the shedding of His own blood. In His life, His obedience, He established righteousness. For His people, He gives them a heart to believe. They believe Him. They're robed in that righteousness. He did that in His life. He did that in His death. In obedience, power, laid down His life for the sheep. And now, in absolute truth, He can say and reveal to us, you're my friends. Wealth maketh many friends. We separate, He reconciles by grace and mercy. And I pray that the Lord bless these words to our heart for Christ's sake.